Diamonds DA42 earns Fiki. Airliner inspections frustrate customers of two major airlines. And the U.S. Air Force and Northrop Grumman fight back. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, March 28, 2008. Diamond Aircraft tells ANN the DA-42, its turbo-diesel light twin, has received FAA Known Ice certification. The certificate allows U.S. pilots to get even more utility out of their DA-42s. Diamond boasts that the DA-42 has a range of up to 1,100 nautical miles, burning a total of 12 gallons per hour on both engines, and cruises at up to 170 knots. To get Known Ice approval for their TKS-equipped DA-42s, owners need to get Diamond Service Bulletin OSB-42015, Revision 3 or later, completed at a Diamond Authorized Service Center designated for this work. Diamond will cover the labor and parts costs for the bulletin, which includes updating placards and flight manuals, as well as conducting a TKS systems test. Delta Airlines followed in the footsteps of larger rival American Airlines late Wednesday and said it too would ground its MD series airliners to inspect wiring bundles. A spokeswoman for Delta told Reuters the airline acted voluntarily to recheck its entire 133-plane fleet of MD-88 and MD-90 aircraft for compliance with the 2006 Airworthiness Directive. The airline announced it expected 275 flight cancellations through early Friday. American Airlines, meanwhile, announced another 130 flights would be canceled on Thursday as the airline continued inspections of its own MD-82 and 83 airliners. The sudden rush to inspect older planes comes in response to a massive FAA audit program of airline maintenance records announced earlier this month and an upcoming April 3rd congressional hearing on the issue prompted by the Southwest Airlines case. As expected, the U.S. Air Force and Northrop Grumman Corporation Wednesday filed separate requests to dismiss parts of a protest by Boeing against the award to Northrop of the $35 billion KCX aerial tanker contract. Politicians at every level of government in the U.S. have vowed to fight the award to Northrop Grumman, saying Northrop's partnership with the European Aeronautic Defense and Space Company sends what should be U.S. manufacturing jobs overseas. The KC-45A tanker Northrop proposes to build is based on the Airbus A330 airliner. The Air Force filed its motion with the Government Accountability Office just after 5 p.m. Eastern Time Wednesday without comment. Reuters reports that of Northrop's separate filing, spokesman Randy Belote said, quote, "We argue that much of what Boeing complains about was contained in the KCX request for proposals and should have been questioned and even perhaps protested before the submittal of Boeing's final bid," unquote. Boeing's protest with the Government Accountability Office, which is the investigative arm of the U.S. Congress, was filed on March 11th. The GAO has 100 days to rule on the matter, putting its deadline at June 19th. Chinese officials say they've obtained a confession from a woman who attempted to set off an explosion in the lavatory of a domestic airline flight March 7th. Reuters cites China's public security ministry, as quoted in the state-run Xinhua news agency, as saying that the 19-year-old woman worked with internationally-backed separatists seeking independence for Xinjiang, a largely Muslim region in the country's northwest. The government identified the woman as Guzaliner Turdi, an ethnic Uyghur, and say she smuggled a hidden explosive device past airport security and onto the plane, but aroused the suspicion of crew and other passengers when she attempted to ignite it. The device was described as a flammable liquid hidden in a canned drink. Reuters reports Xinjiang is home to 8 million Muslim Uyghurs, a group blamed by the Chinese government for plotting attacks on the Beijing Olympics. The Xinhua news agency quoted the region's Communist Party chief, Wang Liquan, as saying that another man on board the flight was detained with Turdi, and a third suspect, detained a week later, confessed to masterminding the sabotage attempt. The case has brought one very Western consequence to airline travel in the world's most populous country. You'll now have to remove your shoes when you pass through airport security in China. Up next on ANN, the GA blame game makes the rounds at a Colorado airport. More bears are sighted off Alaska. And Pratt & Whitney Canada modernizes in Nova Scotia. You're listening to Aero News.
uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 27th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. March 15th was a really tough Saturday for travelers trying to depart Colorado's Aspen-Pitkin County Airport. There were 30 commercial flights scheduled to depart that day. 14 were delayed, 2 more canceled outright. The Aspen Times reports most of the delayed flights spent at least an hour on the ground, and one SkyWest flight spent nearly 7 hours stuck at the gate. SkyWest spokeswoman Marissa Snow blamed the FAA, quote, "It was related to air traffic control and out of the airline's control," unquote. But a recorded announcement playing all day in the terminal blamed a high volume of private planes. To be fair, airport officials say over 100 private planes landed at the airport that day, and one slid off the runway, closing it for over an hour. Aspen resident Richard Simpson, whose daughter was stuck at the airport most of the day, was clearly receptive to the recorded anti-GA message and had a question for the FAA. Quote, "I'd like to know what DC's policy is, because in my opinion, you're screwing over hundreds of people by letting in extra private aircraft," unquote. FAA spokesman Mike Fergus responded that during times of high flight volume, it's first come, first served. Quote, "An aircraft is an aircraft, and there's no preferential treatment unless there's an emergency," unquote. It's not clear if anyone asked Mr. Simpson if he also thinks cars should stay off the roads during traffic jams so buses can run on time. Airport Director Jim Elwood says general aviation traffic at Aspen is actually down 18% for the first 2 months of 2008, which he says may have resulted in part from better airline choices. Quote, "With Frontier coming aboard, I have heard a number of general aviation say that if we had good commercial airline choices, that they would leave their airplanes at home. It will be curious to see what happens," unquote. It must be springtime. The bears have emerged from their brief hibernation and are snooping around Alaska again. Since this is Aero News, of course, we're talking about the Russians, the Tu-95 bear bombers. On Wednesday, two U.S. Air Force F-15 Eagles escorted two bears out of the exclusion zone off the Alaskan coast, according to CNN. And the renewed Cold War-style defense probing isn't limited to North America. Since August of last year, bears have been sighted near the UK, Finland, and Guam. NORAD Commander General Gene Renwart has actually asked the Russian crews to file flight plans so there won't be any misunderstandings. In Wednesday's encounter, U.S. radar picked up the two bombers about 500 miles off the Alaskan coast in what's called the air exclusion zone, where unidentified planes are barred from flying near Alaska. Two F-15s from Elmendorf Air Force Base intercepted the planes and shooed the bears away. Pratt & Whitney Canada this week announced the second phase of a $45 million investment program designed to transform its Halifax facility into a world-class high-technology assembly and test aerospace center, enhancing its long-term competitiveness. Since 2006, the company has invested $21 million at Halifax to install state-of-the-art manufacturing equipment and to begin sub-assembly of engine components. Phase 2 will include a modern engine assembly line and test cell at the facility for an additional investment of $24 million. The new assembly and test line will require advanced training for about 60 employees and create up to 25 new positions in Halifax. The facility currently employs about 360 full-time Pratt & Whitney Canada employees. The government of Nova Scotia will shoulder $12 million of the total investment. Neither NASA nor the agency's science chief are offering any public explanation for his sudden resignation on Wednesday, after only a year on the job. Planetary scientist Alan Stern is NASA's associate administrator for the Science Mission Directorate. He told colleagues only that he'd remain in the post a few weeks. NASA says he'll be replaced temporarily by Edward Weiler, director of NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. Reuters notes the announcement comes just a day after NASA rescinded a letter sent last week to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California, directing a scaling back of operations by the Mars rovers Spirit and Opportunity. On Tuesday, NASA retracted that letter, saying it had not been fully coordinated with agency administrator Michael Griffin. The agency made it clear that, quote, no Mars rover operations will be suspended or shut down, unquote. In his only official comment on the matter, Griffin said, quote, while I deeply regret his decision to leave NASA, I understand his reasons for doing so and wish him all the best in his future endeavors, unquote. Still ahead, SpaceX announces a better VW conversion. Rocket Racing League promises details soon. And the Boeing 737 just keeps on selling. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, March 28, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The outward similarity between legacy Volkswagen air-cooled auto engines and high-dollar aircraft power plants has led experimenters to attempt conversions for years, sometimes with disappointing results. A major weakness of the early conversions was crankshafts and bearings, which were never designed for loads imposed by a propeller. Over the past five decades, some commercial conversions have used various approaches to solve the crank and bearing issues. One of the more successful has been SpaceX Aircraft, which offers a VW conversion as the standard power plant in its own kits. On Wednesday, SpaceX announced its latest evolution in the Aero Conversions product line, the Aero V2.1 engine kit. Building the 2.1 gets you a 2180cc, 80-horsepower engine that can be run on 100 low-lead or autofuel. The complete package weighs 161 pounds and includes all new zero-time parts, including billet conversion components, a purpose-built custom crankshaft that has a larger diameter and longer prop hub interface than the 2.0, and the AeroCarb throttle body injector. Aero V2.1 is now the standard Aero V engine kit, replacing the 2.0, and the cost remains about $6,500. You've heard us talking about the Rocket Racing League for quite a while now. Most of you probably know our own editor-in-chief, Jim Campbell, is one of the first pilots who will compete. He may not have to wait too much longer. Next month, the league plans to announce the dates for first flight of the Rocket Racer, the league's first exhibition race, and the 2008 schedule of exhibition races across the country. In addition, Rocket Racing League Composites Corporation says it will announce the acquisition of a leading aircraft manufacturer. The announcements are scheduled for April 14th during a media conference in New York City. ANN will have the latest news the moment it becomes available. See, we have a source. Boeing confirmed on Thursday a new order for three 737s from national flag carrier Turkmenistan Airlines. The order for two 737-900ERs and one 737-700 is worth about $221 million at list prices. Turkmenistan Airlines' all-Boeing fleet also includes 717s, classic and next-generation 737s, 757s, and one 767. Boeing calls its next-generation 737 family the most technologically advanced airplane family in the single-aisle market. To date, the 737 has logged more than 7,800 orders. That's more than any other commercial jet in history, and that includes a backlog of 2,100 which have yet to be delivered. And finally, if you got your money's worth during ground school, your instructor gave at least passing mention to the need to dress for conditions where you're planning to fly. Alaskan bush pilots wouldn't dream of taking off wearing shorts and flip-flops, but you see plenty of recreational flyers do just that, even if they're going to fly in uncomfortably cool weather. One unidentified student pilot probably won't make that mistake again. The Associated Press reports he was on a solo cross-country flight from Billings to Pryor, Wyoming on Tuesday night when he crashed into a forested slope on Big Pryor Mountain. After surviving the crash with a dislocated shoulder and other minor injuries, he put on a jacket and wool hat and wrapped himself in a tarp as protection against temperatures which dropped to near 0 Fahrenheit. In the morning, he used his cell phone to call his flight instructor, then hiked out to meet rescuers through a mile of waist-deep snow, wearing his jacket, his hat, and his shorts and sneakers. John Trapp, assistant coordinator of Carbon County Search and Rescue, said of the student, quote, "He was very cold and cut up by the time we found a place to land and could hike into him," unquote. The pilot was also said to be suffering from hypothermia. Officials say they still aren't sure why the kid waited till morning to use his cell phone. My unofficial analysis suggests two possibilities. Either he was mortified to tell Rocky Mountain College the Piper wasn't coming back, or it took hours to decide that being found in shorts by well-prepared rescue experts was preferable to freezing to death. Mercifully, the student's name was not released. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Earlier this week, ExoJet President and CEO Paul Tao mentioned the goal to become a billion-dollar company. We're going to find out more about his vision for ExoJet in a conversation recorded during last year's NBAA convention. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.